If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. The book of Genesis, chapter number 6. And I will repeat what I usually say on Sunday morning before I preach. You'll get more out of the sermon by following along in your Bible. Now, the Reader's Digest and the Ladies' Home Journal just won't cut it. We have never faced a time in my lifetime on this earth when there's such a need for God's people to know what the Bible has to say. It is God's final authority. It is His spoken word. It is His written word. It is His instruction to us. And every word in the Bible is true. You cannot count on the words you read in the newspaper. You cannot count on the commentaries of news on television, but let me tell you, you can go to the bank with what you read in the Bible. It is the Word of God. As you turn into Genesis 6, we haven't been having a pleasant time on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. I have the opportunity of teaching those adults who are interested in knowing a little bit more about Scripture. And as Randy said, on a precept-by-precept, line-upon-line basis. And we started out in 1 John, and then we had to take a recess. And the reason we took a recess was because school was out, and we usually do that during the summer months. And then we resume our study in the fall, which we did. And so we had to just leave where we were in 1 John, and then when we came back, then we began to resume where we left off. And we've been in verses 1, 2, and 3 of 1 John for the last 3 weeks. You need to come and be with us. You need to come and be with us. All right, Genesis chapter number 6, verses 5 through 13. The Scripture says, "And God saw." That is an anthropomorphic expression, "and God saw." It is expressing God in human terms because God is spirit. And a spirit has no hands, he has no feet, he has no eyes. But in order for us to better understand God as human beings with a limited intelligence, we need to think about God seeing something. Now, He did not need to see this to know it. He knew it before he ever saw it. But he's telling you what God saw. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." In that short passage of Scripture, I want to call to your attention a statement is made very clearly in verse number 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. His heart was evil continually. And I want to speak on a timely subject. Timely because this is about all we've heard from the news media this entire last week. Why do people do bad things? Why do people do bad things? Let's turn back the pages of history for a few years. The Tyler Morning Telegraph, front page headlines on April the 22nd, 1999. The caption said, "Nation looks for answers to massacre." The article dealt with two teenagers, 17 and 18, who marched into the Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. They were armed with guns and bombs and began firing away. They killed 13 and then took their own lives, making a total of 15 dead. Members of the local SWAT team described it as something from Dante's Inferno. Bodies were found sprawled all over the floor, slumped in desks or crouched beneath tables, boxes, and cubicles where they tried to hide. They were slaughtered anyway. Two main questions at that time were asked, not just once, but over and over and over again. Those two questions are these. Number one, could this have been avoided? Could this awful tragedy have been avoided? And second of all, what made these two teenagers do something like that? You heard it over and over and over again. In answer to the first question, could this have been avoided? I believe it could have been avoided. Now listen carefully. I believe that most crimes and most sins could have been avoided, without a doubt. The city government, the school board back then, they have a responsibility, and to this day still have that responsibility, for allowing gang members to exist and operate in that area. The two boys belonged to a gang called the Trench Coat Mafia. Their trademark was the wearing of trench coats, speaking German, and displaying the swastika. That reeks with trouble from the very beginning. There should be a law against all gang activity in America. Now, that doesn't come from the Tyler Morning News. That comes from the pulpit of Grace Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Gangs should either cease and desist or go to jail and the work form. Civil rights or no civil rights. And where gangs are allowed to operate, my dear friend, you can expect tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And the leaders of the city council scratch their head and say, "What went wrong?" If you got about 3 hours this morning, the parents of the two boys were responsible. It's obvious these boys had no discipline and order in the home. One of the requirements of being a gang member is that your allegiance is to the gang and not to parents. These boys made pipe bombs and the like of which at home. It was there they stored guns. It seems clear they were out of control, most likely by parental consent. They were not restrained. I'll probably say it again, but I'm going to say it now if God will give me the breath to do so. If you do not restrain your young children, and if you do not restrain your precious little babies, one day they will rule over you with a rod of iron. The two killer boys were responsible. Teenage kids. Nobody made them do this. They acted out of their desires, purposes, and plans. It was clearly premeditative murder. As to the second question, I believe I know why they did this hideous crime. And that's my message today. Why do people do bad things? Number one, acts of violence and bloodshed are characteristic of the history of the human race. Murder, bloodshed, and violence are not new. Cain slew Abel. By the way, that word in the Hebrew, slew Abel, it means he slaughtered Abel. Quite frankly, I think he hit him in the head with a shovel. You say, why do you think that? Because he then had to bury him and he needed a shovel to do it. Now, why in the world would Cain kill his brother Abel? Because God accepted Abel's gift and rejected Cain's gift, and Cain took it out on Abel and killed him. Why'd he do it? King Herod had all the male Hebrew babies, 2 years old and under, murdered. Remember that? When the Lord Jesus was born, Herod looked upon Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as a threat to his kingdom, and he sent out an edict and sent his soldiers out into the Jewish neighborhoods and among the Jewish families. If they found any little baby 2 years old and under, he was to be slaughtered. And they killed thousands and thousands of babies. Why in the world would a man do something like that? The religious crowd stoned Stephen to death. Now, folks, it's one thing not to like the preacher, but it's another thing when you start chunking rocks at him. All right? And they hated Stephen so much they began to pick up rocks and throw those rocks. Some of them missed, but some of them hit dead center. And all of a sudden, Stephen was knocked off of his feet into the dust. And just before he died, he cried out that God would have mercy on those throwing the rocks. Forgive them. Why would they kill him? What was his charge? His preaching the Word of God. Wicked men brutally slew the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just put him to death with a poison, my dear friends, but brutally sacrificed the Son of God. They beat his back until it looked like a ribbon of blood. And they plucked his beard from his face. And they cursed him and they mocked him and they humiliated him and they stripped him naked and put him on a cross. Why in the world would men do something like that? More currently, let's try to bring a little of this up to date. There was the Virginia Tech shooting. Remember? April the 16th, 2007. 32 students were shot to death by another student on the campus of Virginia Tech. He's kind of bored a little bit. Didn't have anything much to do, so he just got him a gun and killed 32 people like that. Shot them to death. Watched them hit the dirt. Why would a kid do that, ladies and gentlemen? There was the Fort Hood, Texas shooting by a U.S. Army major, but he was also a psychiatrist. That ought to tell you a little bit. And he killed 13 people and then wounded more than 30 others. And it happened on November the 5th, 2009. Rather recently, Orlando, Florida, the shooting occurred on June the 12th, 2016, as last year. It was a terrorist attack and it happened in a sodomite nightclub. 49 people were shot to death and 58 more were wounded. More recently, on Sunday night of last week, October the 1st, 2017, the worst and deadliest mass shooting in modern American history took place in Las Vegas, Nevada. There were 59 killed with more than 500 wounded. Fella just got into an elevator and went up to his room, about 23, 24 stories, maybe 30 stories, and from that vantage point with automatic weapons to declare war on another country, began to shoot people down one after another without stopping, just killing and killing. Why would he do that? Now that's what the question is, which is being raised over the television. What made him do that? Why did he do that? That question is generally asked by Arminians, who believe that everybody that comes into this world is born with a little bit of good. Doesn't make any difference what a man does. Really, there was a time when he's pretty good. And everybody that comes into the world is born with a little flame of love and light and joy. But something happened. I don't have to ask the question why he did it. Why do people do bad things? Genesis 6:5 contains the answer. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. I have a center reference in my Bible, and you may have one in your Bible also. You look at that little word, every, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Every, or the center reference says, the whole imagination. The Hebrew word signifies not only the imagination, but also the purposes and the desires. Why do people do what they do? Because of who they are. Every imagination of the thoughts of the heart. Do you know what imagination is? It is mental framing. Well, what's mental framing? Well, mental framing is imagination. You begin to think something and dwell on it long enough, you begin to see it in your mind. And if it happens at night when you can't sleep, or it happens in a bad dream, the next day you seek to execute what you've dreamed or what you thought. Mental images. Projecting mental images. This man who did this deed in Vegas, my dear friends, saw it before it ever happened. He carefully analyzed every possible way that it could be carried out. And when he carried it out, he felt that he accomplished the purpose for living. Only evil continually. The Bible uses the word heart, H-E-A-R-T, three different ways. Okay? You said, I already know that. Well, know it again. Okay? Number one, it refers to the physical organ of the human body. Sometimes when you read the word heart in your Bible, it's talking about that pump that generates blood throughout your body, the literal physical heart. For instance, in 2 Kings 9:24, the Bible talks about one man, one king by the name of Jehu, and another king by the name of Jehoram. It says, Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in the chariot. He was shot from the back, and the arrow penetrated the back and came out through his heart. Heart, the physical organ of the body. A second way the word heart is used in your Bible is the mental, or the middle rather, or center of an object. The heart of a matter, the basic function of a matter, the middle or center of an object. For instance, in Matthew 12:40, the Lord Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the, what? Heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Not talking about his physical heart, but talking about that center middle part. Jesus Christ was not 6 feet under, my dear friends. Jesus Christ was inside of a hewn out hollow place in a mountain called a tomb. But the scripture teaches that though his body stayed there, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. He went to the center of the earth. A third way it is used in the Bible, it refers to the mind and the will and the emotion. It is the equivalent of the soul. When a young man says to a young lady, or she says to him, I love you with all my heart, I hope she doesn't have heart trouble. She is saying, I love you with my soul, with all that I am. The mind, the will, the emotion. The Bible says in Exodus 14:4, God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. You hear a lot about hardening of the arteries. Here's hardening of the heart. But it's a different heart. It is the soul of Pharaoh that was hardened. And it showed itself and manifested itself in his life. The mind is the seat or knowledge where all plans and thoughts occur before they're acted out. It comes from up here, out of the heart, the mind. It also involves the will, which is the desire or willingness to execute what the mind has thought and planned. And the emotion is the high. It is the pleasure and enjoyment of exercising the will and doing it. Would you apply that just a moment to the Littleton massacre that took place at Columbine High School? These two boys, teenage boys, they planned and meditated their action. They drew up the plans here. Second of all, they were willing, talking about free will, they were willing to execute what they had thought. And thirdly, they received satisfaction and pleasure in carrying it out. It made their day. The same is true with the slaughter in Las Vegas. The criminal planned it, the criminal carried it out, and he enjoyed every minute of it. This is how the word heart is used in our text. The mind, the imagination of the thoughts. The will, all flesh corrupted his way upon the earth. The emotion, they enjoyed every minute of it, the pleasure of sin. Now, how does all of that pertain to us here today in Grace Baptist Church? All mankind is born with a depraved, bad heart. Where you get that from? Did you check the medical profession? Sure did. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's the greatest doctor who ever lived. And Jesus Christ made that clear. But even in the Old Testament, Genesis 8:21, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Don't leave. Okay? Every baby born into this world has a rattlesnake in his crib. Jeremiah 19, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says in Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born. The heart is the sewer of all bad behavior. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 18 through 19, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, and guess what is at the top of the list? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These things are planned in the heart, planned in the mind, and executed by the will. Hebrews 3:10, they do always err in their heart, and they've not known my ways. Human behavior acts within human nature. Human behavior acts within human nature. Why do men do bad things? Why does a rattlesnake bite? Why in this world would a rattlesnake bite? I don't understand that. Well, you can play dumb all you want to, but you would best not go that direction, okay? You know why a rattlesnake bites? It's a rattlesnake. That's what he does. That's his nature. Why does a pig love slop? You can put all types of niceties. You could stretch before him a cafeteria full of delicacies. He wouldn't eat a bite. He's looking for some slop. Why does a pig love slop? It's his nature to love slop. How and why does a vulture love roadkill and carnage? It is his nature to do that. Oliver Green used to call him God's sanitation department. Why are lions dangerous and destructive? Because it is their nature to be dangerous and destructive. Why do bears like to kill? It is because of their nature. And the Las Vegas vulture did what he did for the same reason, namely his nature. Not all manifest such depravity, just as not all bears kill, yet all are capable of it. If a man's human nature is not monitored, listen to me, please listen to me. If a man's human nature is not monitored, and if his fleshly desires are not restrained, then the best man you know is quite capable of committing the most hideous acts of society. You say, Brother Cozart, one thing I know is this, I wouldn't do anything like that. You don't know you very well. You don't know what you would do. Listen to me, folk. If God Almighty in His mercy took His restraining grace off of you and took His mercy off of you, you would act worse than an animal, and I would join you in it. Now, you're not going to hear this in the Armenian church. You'll hear something like this: God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And God's doing the best He can, and He wants to save you, but He can't violate your human will. Now, let me tell you what, dear friend, we're born with a bad nature, and therefore we do bad things. Would you like an example? King David, and I'm going to set this up, okay? King David was a man after God's own heart. If there ever was a king that could ever rise above David, the history pages don't record it. He was the greatest. He was the best. He had several wives, and he's very careful that he tiptoed through the tulips. He didn't want to wake them up, because he espied a neighbor's wife across the way taking a bath, and she forgot to put any clothes on. And David was so bored. And the king can have anything he wants, and so he demanded that she come to him, which she did. And he took another man's wife. You don't do that. And not only that, but he made sure that her husband Uriah was placed in the front lines of the battle. Uriah was the best friend that David had, and David turned him over to death. Why would David do such a thing as that? Because of this human nature capability. One of the biggest problems Baptists have today, we think too much of ourselves. I think it is important to do the best you can with what you have, and I would not in any wise try to diminish that. But my dear friends, were it not for the grace of God, where would you be today? And where would I be today? Now, the other scope on the example, Judas was a reprobate. He was a lying reprobate. But look what he did. He sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. What kind of a man to do that? He was a disciple of the Lord. He had heard Christ preach. He had been in Christ's presence. And sold him for 30. Why would a man do that? Same reason the Columbine thing happened. The same reason the Las Vegas thing happened. Human nature takes over. The solution to the problem, is there one? Yes, I believe so. And I believe it is preventive and not curative. David cried out in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart." You know why he prayed for a clean heart? Because he had a dirty one. "Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. My attitude's not right, Lord. Clean my attitude up." Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. The Bible says, "A new heart will I give you. A new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." When an individual comes to know the Lord, he'll find a heart transplant has taken place. The old heart is taken out. The new heart is reestablished. A new one replaces the old one. And though he still may retain the old nature, and we do, just because we are saved does not mean we don't have a human nature anymore. We still have a human nature, and it continually seeks to lead us down the wrong path. We have a greater power in us, and that's the new nature in Jesus Christ that leads us in the right direction. Though he still retains the old nature, he becomes a partaker with a divine nature that is constantly leading us in the right direction, and it will enable us to be led by the Spirit. It will enable us to be filled with the Spirit. It will enable us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And it will enable us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. What will enable us? Being a partaker of His divine nature. And only God's people qualify for that. Only God's people have become partakers of His divine nature. Let me read it for you in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Violence and wicked behavior have been the order since creation, and it will continue. Bad behavior cannot be solved with education. Put that down. Bad behavior cannot be solved with education. We hear a lot today about sex education, drug education, child abuse education simply is not working. Adam had education in the Garden of Eden, but it didn't stop him. God said, eat it, and when you eat it, you're going to die. And Adam disobeyed the Lord. Bad behavior cannot be solved with education. Bad behavior cannot be solved with legislation. All we need is some more laws. All we need is some more rules. If we had a few more rules, it'd cut this mess out. Would it really? Not so. It must be removed by regeneration. Being born again, not of this world, but of the Holy Spirit, being born again. Man's only hope in the gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives sins, who changes character and conduct, and by giving us a steady diet of the Word of God. Christians have access to a steady diet of the Word of God. Let me read one other verse, and then I will close in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I've got right out beside of that verse in my Bible, I have a wide margin Bible, this will keep us out of a whole lot of trouble if we learn how to think right. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Why do people do bad things? You say, well, now, why do bad people do bad things? I understand that. But why do good people do bad things? For the same reason that bad people do bad things. May God help us to see today, my dear friends, we have no strength apart from the strength He gives us. And we have no power, we have no victory apart from the victory He gives us. And may we, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, put on the whole armor and be aware of where we live. And when these strange impulses come along, get in the book, study the Word of God, and claim the promises as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please, for prayer.